All right, guys, welcome to another edition of You're On The List. We are broadcasting live from the Brett Earns fan page. Make sure you go to the You're On The List fan page, add yourself. And we got a special guest in the house tonight. I was actually kicking it with you on Wednesday night, and he's like, yo, let me come in. I'm like, all right. Our old friend here, introduce yourself, please.
Hey, guys, how are you? I'm Matty Fontana.
There he is.
Good friend of mine. You've been on the show before, right?
Yeah.
What did we do last time?
We did great things about Boston and terrible things about Boston.
Oh, yeah, because they're the same.
Yeah.
They're the same. Your accent's the worst and best accent.
Yeah.
Yeah. Best on a man, terrible on a woman.
Yeah, that's true.
Sweetheart, can you bring up the fucking condoms? Dude, finish inside of me.
just visualizing that's disturbing.
It's bad.
I think that goes across the board, too. I mean, you could say a Jersey accent is good on a guy.
No, dude, the Boston one is worse, I think, on a female. I was visiting my friends in Foxborough, and I met a girl in a neighboring town, and it was just like trash, and she came out of the car to say hi, and it was like I couldn't believe it. It was the most unattractive thing I've ever seen.
It looks like it sounds like it like it looks terrible. Like it's just, hey, and all the girls I grew up with back home who are clearly listening to this podcast, yeah. I'm sorry.
Apparently you're not trying to sell tickets in your hometown.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah. It looks like a torn pantyhose.
Yeah.
That's what it sounds like.
Hey, P, where's your little laptop? Is this it?
No, it's on the ground. I'm charging it up for a little bit.
You didn't have it charged before the show?
No.
I
thought it was charged, but it wasn't. But we'll get it up in a second. Buddy, I can see on your Starbucks cup, she just put one T in Matt.
Yeah.
Like a doormat.
Yeah, I'm not like Brett over here. I got two, but...
Yeah, I got one. It's the other way around with us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do most people spell with one T or two T's, Matt?
I notice...
That's a two T name. Right?
I don't know now that you say it. I think
a lot of people spell mine one.
Yeah.
Like every time, like when I go to places like Starbucks.
Because your name is like he said, like a doormat.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But some people are completely illiterate. You know what I mean? Like when they write names. One time I was at Starbucks and I said Pete and she wrote P-E-T. With no E. And pet. I was like, no, that's pet. That's not a... Like, how do you think that's Pete? And she's like, oh. I said, oh, I'm a pet. And she goes, oh, Pete, right? And I go, no, there's an E.
Speaking of Pete, I'm really disappointed in your hair today.
Wow, what's going on? Well, I didn't really do anything. Yeah, I was wearing a hat.
I mean, even when you fucking wear your headphones...
I was wearing a hat, yeah.
Your hair is up in the air.
Desi Arnaz Jr.
It's a little funky. It's a little funky.
So did you watch the draft yesterday or what? I wanted to talk about the draft.
I listened to the draft on the radio on the way back from...
Are you starting to learn football now?
I was in Diamondhead. Or not Diamondhead, Arrowhead. Lake Arrowhead yesterday.
What were you doing there? Fucking MTV Spring Break 94?
No, I was doing a corporate event there.
Were you there with Eric Nies? Remember him from The Grind?
No, dude, Arrowhead is not like... It's
hey, we're here at Lake Arrowhead Spring Break!
It doesn't have that vibe. It's like it's very
It did in 94.
Really?
Daisy Fuentes?
Yeah.
Did people go there for a spring
break? They were always broadcasting at Lake Arrowhead or something.
Really?
On MTV. That's how I know it.
I don't think Lake Arrowhead.
Wait, what, were you hosting a contest? Wait, we got somebody chat. What? Yes.
You're thinking of Lake Havasu.
No,
dude.
That's new. Havasu's new. I'm talking back in the day. I'm telling you, dude.
No one's going to Lake Arrowhead to party. It's like it's like a cabins. You're wrong, dude. You're wrong.
Almost positive.
You're wrong.
Go pull up your computer you're not prepared for.
No, there's UCLA has a thing called Bruins Woods or something up there. There's like it's very civilized.
I'm trying to say I think there was an MTV Spring Break party at Lake Arrowhead.
No one's going to Lake Arrowhead for spring break, bro. It's like these are like people with like
they did in 1993.
No, dude, they have like
you're fucking crazy.
Bro, these are people wearing.
It was
like,
right after MTV Spring Break, Clearwater, Florida.
yeah, exactly. Yeah,
old folks trailer park.
It's a big, like the summer in the Hamptons.
You know, people are going to be trying to chime in, and you don't have your fucking computer.
No, I'll look at it in a second.
There's always a problem.
No, it's all right.
We can never go.
Give it a couple of minutes, and that way we can take the whole.
People are,
show
are probably
it.
Right now agreeing with me.
No, people are telling
what
you right
this
now.
One?
Open it up. That's
Pete,
a nice.
You know what?
Open it up.
You know, computers aren't my skill.
There you go.
What the fuck is this thing?
Whose computer is that? I like that. That's one of the Surface. Microsoft Surfaces.
It doesn't work.
Yeah, it does, buddy.
How does it stand up?
There's a pen on it. This guy's got it figured out. There you go. Let Matty Fontan do it.
See, that's what I mean.
Dude, I love that. I just
I've never seen one of those things
that,
in my life.
How did this get so loud? In Lake Arrowhead. That's just so funny.
You must have bumped mine or something.
I smacked my face off the
microphone. Like really loud. Yeah.
Mine is?
Everybody's is.
Yeah, you can turn your volume down a little bit down if you want. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Oh, it's that way. Never mind.
But yeah, I was coming back from spring break at Lake Arrowhead, and I was listening to the draft on the radio, and I was with a friend of mine who's a he's a Vikings fan, and you know, so he didn't have much in that first round. He didn't have any stake in the game, but he was very shocked at that first pick. Brett, you thought it was a great pick, Baker Mayfield.
I think I like Baker Mayfield. I think he's a competitor. I like his cockiness. You know. He's attractive.
Yeah. Is he attractive, dude?
I don't know.
How about the other guy, the other white guy with the tweets where he's dropping N-bombs?
Well, Josh Rosen got drafted. First Jewish guy drafted in the first round since what year? What year do you think the last? I could thank Alex Monaco for this.
1929.
Close.
What?
Sid Luckman in 1932 or something.
Really?
Sid Luckman. coming out of
no surprises
Bensonhurst, Brooklyn. Yeah.
No surprises here. Another Sid Luckman pick right there.
Dude, Sid Luckman was like the only Jewish guy drafted in the first round since Josh Rosen.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Take a bow, Sid.
Well, considering there's only 16 million Jews in the world,
yeah.
What are the odds?
Yeah,
you know
there's
I mean?
There's a fucking march down the down at NFL headquarters.
Yeah,
Dallas drafted a linebacker.
I just love that they always boo what's
James
his name?
Vanderbeek,
the commissioner.
Oh yeah,
Goodell.
Yeah, like they of just
that guy gets no
He's
love.
A garbage.
He just gets booed everywhere.
Hey, is this Felipe's thing? Okay, so I can
that's just an
online.
Image. Yeah, you can pop it up, dude.
Worry about who's who and what's
what. Yeah, just go to Facebook.com.
Don't worry about what I do, man. What do you care? You're not here.
Matty, did you have any stake in the game with the draft or anything like that?
No.
Yeah.
Nope.
You're a Patriots fan?
Just a Pats fan, yeah. I don't give a shit what anybody else is doing, really.
Patriots pull players from like other, you know, from like lesser rounds and just turn them into stars.
Patriots take players from the practice squad of like the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
It doesn't matter.
And they make
them a star. Like I said, Bill Belichick will draft Kathy Ireland to kick field goals and you'll still win the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I'll tell you though, it's crazy to think about, you know, a person who's not in the NFL. Just that idea of draft day, like if you're in that first round, like the idea that like you turn into a millionaire the second your name is called, and now you're in the NFL.
You
know
got to
I mean?
Worry you don't have some opportunistic father.
Yeah, exactly.
He's trying to cash in. He's got t-shirts made already.
Yeah, Lorenzo Ball's. You know.
Oh God, what a piece of shit that guy is.
Oh my God. But
let the kid play basketball.
Yeah,
you know.
But it's just always interesting. I think it's pretty cool.
Oh, here we go. All right, we're live.
There you go, buddy.
Well, I mean, going from that, but you like all your family starts calling you.
All right, here we go.
And asking you for money and shit.
What you make? Oh yeah, right out the gate.
Yeah.
You're like 21 years old, and you got like fucking. You're putting your cousin through college.
Yeah.
Like that responsibility.
Just hear from everybody.
Yeah. That's when you shut your phone off. You get a flip phone.
Dude, you know what else happened today, which we could talk about if you guys care, is Jason Witten announced he retired.
Oh, wow. I didn't see that.
Yeah,
I didn't see that coming.
He's going to be on ESPN. But it's like, dude, you should have told us that before yesterday. Maybe we could have drafted a tight end.
No,
but we still need a linebacker.
Yeah. I think that's smart, though. I think a lot of the, you know, especially guys that reach a level where they either get a Super Bowl ring or whatever, they're starting to punch out a little bit earlier because they're worried about their, you know, the CTE stuff and later on in life. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They're like, oh, I'd rather have a career in broadcasting than shooting myself in the face in my Jeep, you know, at 50.
50, you can't say your ABCs.
Yeah, exactly. So what do you think about the Witten thing there, Brett? What are you doing over there?
I'm surfing the web. I'm doing your job. What I'm doing.
We'll get to it. We're still having a podcast here.
I know. Well, you know what? What do you want me to do?
What are you looking at? See, this is why.
No, I'm looking at Lamar Jackson.
That's what I'm saying. Like, Brett can't have a computer when he's doing this because he's just such a – he gets distracted so easily.
He's a sponge of knowledge, though. I mean,
he's a sponge for sure.
Can't talk right now. Sponging.
he's sponging. We were out front of the Improv one night, and it was him. Jason Law has another one. Really, like, knows everything about sports. And like watching him.
Lawhead knows everything about Cleveland. What? Sports.
I mean, watching him and Lawhead go back and forth.
Yeah.
Until like 3:30 in the morning.
Oh gosh.
In front of the Improv was pretty funny.
Well, people are. I think people are talking. I mean, I don't know how this is coming in.
People are talking. About people.
Right, That's not even how it goes. Not even remotely close.
Somebody asked me. I think Chrissy. I can't find the comment.
Yeah.
Because I want to see where Lamar Jackson. I know where. I like the kid. He's a South Florida kid. Played at Louisville. Really legit. You know what's great about Louisville's offense is that they actually run kind of like a pro style offense now. He's a great. I mean, to me, I put him top three, but whatever.
Yeah.
Because Rosen went. Wait, Giants got the running back kid from Penn State, who's legit.
Yep.
I mean, you can't pass
Rosen
on that.
I was listening to him.
He went
on the,
third, right? Yeah,
no, no, no. He went further down the line.
Who went third? There's another quarterback.
Yeah.
The running back kid from
Shit.
Penn State. Is that me?
No.
I mean, you can't pass Rosen. What are you doing?
Oh, dude, I just got a flashback.
Dude, you're
about 30 seconds ago.
Dude, you're killing me.
Yeah, you just keep the volume down on that, bud.
No, you're not. You're killing me. You know
why
how to
am
work,
I
kill,
killing you?
Because you know how to work this shit.
Here, just give it to me. Just pass it down that way.
Okay, but it's like, I don't know if they're not coming in.
Yeah, let me just say. I got it. I honestly, buddy, just realized my battery was dying, so I had to.
All right, now I can focus on being the star.
All right,
star
here we go. Whitten
show.
Did not win a ring, Frisch, and I understand that. I was just saying. A lot of NFL players are punching out earlier.
Listen, guys, if you're listening, find out if there was a spring break in Lake Arrowhead.
There's nobody.
I'm
no, it never happened.
It did, man. Don't
it
fucking tell me it
never happened. I'm just telling you right now, pal. It just never. There's no way. It's not a thing. No one's going to Lake Arrowhead.
Puck
for,
from the railed world was
that's,
there.
That's a farce. I'm telling you right now, there was a hot body contest. Pauly Shore hosted it. Eric Nies from The Grind and Daisy Fuentes. And it was in Lake Arrowhead, Connecticut.
Yeah.
Where is Lake Arrowhead?
Lake Arrowhead is
California.
In California, bro.
Where were you? What were you doing there? Hosting some type of...
I was hosting
a
corporate event. Close to it, though. Very...
Was it really like a boat thing?
No, it wasn't a boat thing. But it was very preppy. Like, everyone that was a part of this company was very, you know...
What was going on here? Was
polished. They were very polished.
Pete makes $500,000 a year hosting events. Like shit
that's
you wouldn't
what
like.
Do. What do you like come out in like a like,
corporate retreat?
Like linen?
Yeah, just
nobody
corporate,
knows
like,
what.
Hello, I'm Pete.
Nobody knows what he does. He comes out he's like, buddy, hey, welcome to Lake Havasu.
No,
hey,
it's, you know, I was,
we have a
I
regatta
was doing,
going.
I was doing like.
Let me submit a freestyle.
They were playing some, you know, like they were playing some games against each other. They break them up into teams and they play, you know,
okay.
games.
Team building exercises.
These
like a corporate.
Yeah.
Team building exercises. Like trust falls and shit?
Not trust falls. Just different. You know, different.
Isn't that what rich kids have?
Yeah. What?
Like a
trust funds? You're thinking.
Never mind.
That'd be great though. Start
the
doing
fuck's a
trust funds.
When you lay, when you stand there like this, and you lay back, and you trust the people behind you are gonna catch you.
Yeah, that ain't happening.
No.
Yeah. You learn who your friends are real fast.
Do that at the Comedy Store at 1:15 in the morning.
That's not gonna work.
So talk to me about the what do you think? What else do you think about the draft, dude?
I'm gonna wait for it to be over.
You don't really care about football. You just love the Pats.
I like football. I'm entertained by watching it. It's good. I didn't have it when I was a kid, so I didn't.
Yeah, right. That's right. Because you guys were horrible.
Well, they were terrible, but we didn't have
Tony Eason.
The neighborhood I grew up in didn't have football.
Well, I mean, why?
Pop Warner wouldn't allow South Boston to have a football team.
Why is that?
Because from what I heard, I don't know if this is 100% true.
Did you hear the segue into this?
What, that Boston couldn't have Pop Warner?
No, not Boston. Where he's from, Southie.
Yeah.
That they would not allow the kids in Southie to have a football team. I can't wait to
hear
that.
They did for a while.
Why? Because Whitey Bulger was fixing a fucking Little League game?
This is what I heard.
They were selling
heroin? Probably not.
Were they selling heroin at halftime?
No, Matt Damon was just doing fucking math in the windows, and they were like, "This dude just won't fucking. We gotta play football." And he's just sitting there doing fucking math. Now, from what I heard, it's probably not true.
It is true. But go ahead.
The parents from Southie would kick the shit out of the parents from other towns.
Oh, okay.
When their kids were losing.
Yeah,
or something like, or if they,
that makes sense.
That makes a lot of sense.
Southie's like going to Chuck E. Cheese with your kids. It's just a fucking, it's a shit show.
It ain't that bad.
It's just fights everywhere.
Well, being a filthy Irish kid growing up.
Yeah.
Dirty people.
You fucking dirty. It's Sicilian. You're not even Italian. It's Sicilian.
And I'm half.
And fucking.
And German.
Nazi.
That's where I get my height from.
Abdullahad says.
Two of the wrong sides of World War II, by the way.
Abdullahad says, no, your bitch ass dad is a Pats fan.
Dude, that was a quote from Departed, remember? When he goes into the thing. Why are you the dirty, dirty people? And then fucking DiCaprio throws him a beating. Anyways.
That's a good movie.
So you played? Would you play them? Well, because this doesn't make well. Here's what doesn't make sense, though. Mm-hmm. Did you have Little League baseball?
We did.
Okay, so the parents didn't kill each other there.
You have all Southie teams, though. I think Pop Warner was you needed so many kids to play on a football team.
Plus, also,
I don't know. Supposedly happened in the 70s.
So then, here's the next question. So what you're saying is that in between, like if it's inner Southie competition, mm-hmm. the parents all know each other.
Yeah.
But if it's like you're Southie and then Dorchester comes, there's a fight.
Dorchester,
we're kind of buddies with because they were right next to us. But yeah, basically, yeah.
Right, if it was you're getting technical.
Oh, yeah.
I don't really know your area.
Plus, Little League has too many movies about it.
Has a lot of fencing around it, too. You know, you got the backstop, you got the dugouts. It's harder to get to other parents.
That's the thing. I never saw any fights during Little League.
Has Southie embraced their hipsters or no? I know
no.
My buddy Vinny Sofio came in from Iannelli's. Shout out to Iannelli's on Pashyunk. He was saying how, like, his South Philly neighborhood, they hate the hipsters coming in. He told me he was walking down the street and he goes, and there used to be like a delicatessen, you know, but it was like a sandwich shop and it's closed. And he's like, what the fuck happened? And now there's a typewriter store.
Wow.
What the fuck?
That's
first
crazy.
Of all, how many journalists are using typewriters?
Yeah. That's insane. That's sad.
They have typewriter font on a computer.
Yeah.
Just use that.
That's insane.
Like, it makes it more authentic that you're using whiteout? You moron.
It was a dark and stormy night. Like
Sid Luckman, when Sid Luckman was drafted, it was written on a typewriter.
He had like a fucking PC.
So Southie's not embracing the hipster movement.
Not at all. It's not even. See, Southie started getting more the yuppies back in the 90s.
Well, that's what that would that the 80s was. Not to correct you, but I will. I think yuppies were more 80s, weren't they?
Yeah. Yuppies was the 80s,
and then but the hipsters are kind of like the yuppies, but at least the yuppies stayed consistent to their wealth.
Yeah,
they never pretended. You know, they weren't like some rich kid whose parents are funding their apartment as they pursue their dream of opening a typewriter store.
Yeah.
But then dress down and pretend that they're part of the neighborhood, but yet disrespecting the heritage of the neighborhood.
Yeah.
By using the social justice terms.
Yeah, no, they're,
but they're using social justice terms to kids that was like the last, I think it was the last, it still is kind of rough, but right? But it was like the last white ghetto.
That's what it said. America. When I went to high school in the index, I looked in the index of my high school history book, freshman year of high school, flipped to the page that had South Boston. It was a one sentence, South Boston, last white ghetto in North America. Mm-hmm. And people were like, oh, there's all sorts of white ghettos. Those aren't ghettos. Those are trailer parks
and
stuff
difference.
Like that.
There's a big
ghetto
difference.
Is an inner city neighborhood.
Before this comment goes away, Carlos says hilarious. Every time Vinny saw a hipster when we were in Philly, he mugged the fuck out of them and said, see? See what I mean?
Yeah, we were hanging out. We went to get cannolis.
And Kevin Stewart says, is Pete flexing? Come on, guys.
Yeah, Pete, you know what's weird? Pete moved to this side of the table.
Yeah.
To get closer to the camera.
Well, to see the guest.
Well, which
I always have my back turned.
This should be the way we do it.
Yeah.
But I really think you're trying to show off your guns. I really do.
Did you like spray tan them so the?
No, this is from Lake Arrowhead. This is a sun glow from Lake Arrowhead yesterday.
From the spring break.
Yeah. I was on a boat, you know, doing a hot body contest.
Well, you were, weren't you?
The partying. Wait till you go and see Lake Arrowhead at some point. You'll just be laughing that you thought it was a spring break.
I'm telling you, man.
With Jesse Kemp. You remember Jesse?
Yeah, the kid Jesse the talking.
Guys.
Somebody look up if MTV was in Lake Arrowhead, please. Something happened in Lake Arrowhead.
You get water from it. It's Arrowhead water.
Is that really where
that's
it comes
where
from?
It's from Lake Arrowhead. That's where it's from.
I'm never
drinking it again.
There was a... There's hair in it now that Pete was in it. Like
too much.
Yeah, why is there hair in it?
Why does this taste like olive oil?
Why does it smell like Tanner?
Why is it?
God, there's
Did
hair
someone
in
just
every
open a bottle of Lake Arrowhead? Or is this fucking Dracon or what?
Yeah.
Oh,
God, it smells amazing. Why does this water smell amazing?
Victoria Moyer says, holy shit, I made it to a live one. So this is the first time she's watching live. Thanks for watching, Victoria.
Hey, hi, Vicky.
Anybody watching, just look this up.
Yeah. See if Lake Arrowhead was a spring break.
I remember. Hey, we're live from Lake Arrowhead. We got...
It's either Lake Havasu. It's Lake Havasu.
What's the one in Arizona?
Havasu.
That's Havasu. All right. Yeah. That's the one with
all the boats link up and there's chicks in bikinis. Yeah,
but that was later. I'm telling you, man, they were in Lake Arrowhead. You guys are fucking nuts.
No, dude. They do like woodworking in Lake Arrowhead. It's like a mountain town.
True.
Yeah. So it's not really the same. Frigiano says, I agree with Brett. Revolution Graphics did all the graphics for the spring break at Arrowhead.
Yeah, nice plug.
I walked right in.
We're getting Revolution Graphic t-shirts, by the way. They're coming in.
I have one.
A new one.
Oh, nice.
Is it the one with the I don't want to
I got that. A cool I got a cool Revolution Graphics logo. I rock that what do they call it? Under Armour.
Dude, I went to the screening of Cobra Kai.
Tell me about it. How was it, dude?
First of all, I'm not even kidding. I'm not. I don't really come in until like the third and fourth episode. Then on.
But how did it feel?
I'm just in the beginning, like of the first one.
Was it cool to see yourself on the big screen?
That's not what I'm getting at.
Okay.
All right. So I'm at the afterwards at a little party upstairs because they screened it at CAA.
Nice.
And I'm looking, and I'm just gonna get cut to the chase. Sensei John Kreese was there.
No way.
I fucking lost my shit. Erickson from Rambo was standing right
That's
there.
Amazing.
And my wife goes, I have never seen you get excited like this. I go, you don't understand. That's fucking Erickson.
Wow.
He's a turncoat helicopter pilot.
Yeah.
You know? I went, we got a picture together, but it was really cool, man. And then I hung out with Johnny. Well, I mean, Billy Zabka, but then I'm like, yo, but I work with him already. And, you know, he's just, but to see John Kreese was
That's cool.
pretty cool, man.
That's really cool.
And then the guys were all said, hey, what's up? They enjoyed doing the podcast.
Nice.
We had to tweet that back out. We had technical problems with that because it cut off.
Yeah, we fixed it. It eventually got fixed, but that was a great episode. It was cool hanging out with real life writers and directors who get their stuff actually made.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Dude, but if you go to my Instagram, you can see I posted a lot of stuff on the story. But it was pretty cool, man. It was pretty cool.
Mercy is for the weak.
Yeah. Victoria Moyer says it was Lake Havasu, 1995.
It was That's a farce. That's not true. It's fucking Lake Arrowhead. Yeah.
Abdullah Had says Brett is going Hollywood on us. You're going to these screenings and stuff. You're
buddy,
big,
Martin.
You're a big time.
I've been Hollywood for fucking 20 years.
He agrees. He says he feels like Brett belongs in the original Karate Kid movie.
Oh shit.
I'm old enough.
And the Outsiders.
He's one of those neighbor's kids that helped push his mother's car.
Let's be honest. I was too young then, but I missed that window. Yeah. If that would have been my era.
Yeah,
I could have been Lost Boys. Yeah, I would have been in all those.
Yeah.
So what was the feedback? What was the feedback on the on Cobra Kai, pal?
They screened it at Tribeca. No bullshit. Entertainment Weekly gave it a B+, which is like an A++ from them.
Oh yeah.
New York Times gave it an A. We're 100% on Rotten Tomatoes. I'm not kidding you when I say this. Those three guys, the way they wrote this. I mean, I read the script. And, you know, you don't really – I don't see every scene. I just read the script and then you focus on what you're doing.
Right.
I'm repeating what some of the reviews said, but it's so true. They were able to capture the nostalgia. They were able to reference it in a way and make jokes, but they don't go too far with it. I can't explain it. It's not spoofy. It's really cool to people that know the movie. Everybody should know the movie. And the way that they bring in the new cast, it's really they did. Again, man, if I wasn't a part of this, read the reviews. I'm not just saying this.
We just got a review in right now. Carlos Rodriguez with one of his famed quick flick review of Cobra Kai, the first two episodes. It reads, "It's not bad. You actually like Johnny as the anti-hero, and Daniel's son isn't like a complete douche, so you don't know who to root for in it. The new kid they got is a Mexican karate kid who does a decent job. It's funny, but not cheesy kind of funny. They found ways to slide in internet references and retro jokes. Rating, it's on YouTube Red, all 10 episodes, May 2nd. It's definitely binge-worthy."
Dude, but... Even besides that, I mean, the first two aren't even the best ones.
How far back, how far into the this is like a, it's like a trilogy.
Fuck Carlos.
Karina DiMartino, classic, beautiful, beautiful Italian name. She says, "I Googled it, Brett, not Lake Arrowhead. I so wanted it to back you up. LOL, you have the funniest shit on the net. I crack up every day. I bust out, man, fucking fuck Tony at least once a day." So even Karina, a true supporter of yours,
Karina
wanted to back you up with Lake Arrowhead. Turns out it's just bottled water, and it was never featured on MTV.
I know what I saw.
Downtown Julie Brown wasn't like, "All right, we're back here, Lake Arrowhead."
Kurt Loda.
Is the regatta in the lake?
I'm here at Lake Arrowhead. This is the news.
Eric Neese is like doing the grind at Lake Arrowhead.
Tell her thank you, but if she tunes in, she'll just know that I yell a lot. And I stick to facts that aren't real.
So on the Cobra Kai thing, Brett, how far into the history? Like the Karate Kid had like 5 movies. So it's just the first one or two?
It's just the first one or two. And the way they do it is, you know, you see where Johnny is now. It's just really good. It's really good.
And it doesn't get...
Dude,
try to make fun of itself. It tries to continue the story.
It takes not shots at itself, but I can't do it justice. I don't know how they wrote it this way. It's like a four... It's literally, you're going to get our generation, and the kids in this are fucking amazing, man.
You mean the kid actors? The kid,
all the kids, yeah.
Which you need, like usually kids... take me out of shows unless they're really good actors. Like the Stranger Things kids, I didn't think I would like that show, and I started watching it. I was like, oh, well, the kids are actually good actors.
Wait, you really get invested in the new kid that Johnny's training.
Yeah.
And then Daniel's daughter, her name's Mary Mauser. She's an actress. I mean, look, you work with the kids, and you see them around the set, and then when you see them on screen and the way they did it, man. I mean, dude, they all nail it. The girl that's the high school girl that's the bitch, the nerd kids. It's like a high school. It's like our generation. Say I should have like at least an 11-year-old.
Yeah.
Or a 10-year-old kid. Right. If I was a normal adult. We're watching this together. The parents are going to be laughing. They'll be laughing at everything, but there's going to be stuff for us and then stuff for them, and then you get invested in them.
Right.
And then you see how – because both Johnny and Daniel are more – they're not anti-heroes. Johnny, you know, but you see their perspectives more.
Right.
So it's really cool, man. I'm not doing it justice.
The trailers look. I mean, when Johnny pulls up and he sees the car dealership.
Well, here's the cool part. Like Patton Oswalt – you know, has been tweeting about it. But there's so many, there's like a huge underground following, like a fanboy following that Patton is not in this, but he's like huge Karate Kid fan. But there are a lot of fanboys online that were like, this is going to suck. Why don't they leave my childhood alone? Like that type of stuff.
Right.
And they're like, dude, this is one of the best
That's
things.
Fucking great.
They brought some to the screening just to be like, just watch it.
And yeah.
It's really cool, man.
Patton Oswalt really weighs in on a lot of stuff, doesn't he?
Well, he's like in the comic book world. Like he's
oh,
like,
yeah, that's true.
You know what I mean? Yeah, like he is. That's not that that's his niche. That's just who he is.
Yeah.
And one of my favorite shows that he does is on Netflix. They redid Mystery Science Theater 3000.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So, you know, he's into those. He's into the movies, into the comic books and stuff. So, my wife is nowhere near a fan of the movie like we were, because she didn't grow up with it. Mm-hmm. I mean, she was born in like 87.
Yeah.
You know? So, she was like, oh my God, this was like, she was really into it.
That's awesome.
The kids are great, man. The kids fucking nail.
Your wife is so young. She thought like, you know.
Well, she knew the first.
She thought like, you know, You Got Served was like a fighting movie. That was her. That was her Karate Kid.
Drumline.
That's her
Drumline.
Karate.
We were.
Just fucking
Drumline was
Nick Cannon yeah. Like playing the other guy's drum was like the.
Yeah.
That was their move. Like,
that was their
like,
crane
did you remember
kick.
That?
That was her Danielson.
No, but
that was her crane kick.
But she's a fan of the first movie. That's you know, she loved the first movie, but it wasn't her generation.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
I think a lot of people. I mean, I think that a
it
lot
wasn't
of those
her
movies,
generation. All right, good. Petey's got his thing back. Let me log out. I don't even know what this computer does.
But so that's YouTube Red, right?
Yeah, YouTube Red, man, and I guess it's the subscriptions. I'm very happy to be a part of it, man. I really am.
You
even if it's
be, dude.
A small, even if it's a small part.
It's huge.
You know. Who am I kidding? I am the show.
What's your character like? Is he like, you know?
It's like some jerk off
used car salesman.
Half Italian, half Irish kid from Boston that
doesn't know much about football except for the
New
England Patriots.
The fucking New England Patriots.
The draft.
No, it's I play Louis LaRusso, his cousin.
Oh, cool!
And then I come into the car dealership that he runs, which, you know, that's the other thing that's hilarious is that you just got to see how these events just play out. I got to tell you again, man, those guys did a great job. They really did, and they were in here. They were good dudes. You liked them, right?
Oh yeah, they were great. Is there another screening or anything that you guys are doing, or was that it?
That was it. I'm sure some stuff might get leaked online, but YouTube Red is...
I wish I could have gone and checked it out, dude.
I wish you could have, man. YouTube Red is doing a, I guess, a trial membership for the first month.
Abdulahad says, Pete, ask Brett now that he's a Hollywood big shot, will he finally decide on a car?
You know, not yet.
Kevin Stewart said he's going to have a big party, a big Cobra Kai party at JR's Pizza for All.
Dude, I would be there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, hey, tell them to call me because I'm going to be in New Jersey 18th and 19th, but I'm coming. I'm going to take a trip down the shore real quick.
Where are you going
to
be, bud?
I'm going to be at Bananas Comedy Club in Hasbrook Heights.
Hell yeah, dude.
And Friday, Saturday, 18th, 19th.
18th, 19th of?
May. And then I'm gonna come down to I gotta come down on Saturday. To
buddy, I might do a guest spot. I'm gonna be in Jersey.
Are you really?
Yeah.
Why don't you come? Well, let me find out if they got an opening.
My brother is.
You know what you could do? No, dude. Seriously, let me call.
18th to 19th. I'm gonna be in Jersey.
Let me call and find out if because then if
that'd
you can
be great.
Then you
that'd
can come
great.
And run the light and show up drunk and fucking
railroad stories while he's drunk.
He's the best worst opener ever. He's hilarious.
What do you mean? Come on.
Oh, shut up. You know what? Fuck that.
What?
He did 45 minutes in Atlanta.
What? Oh, dude, there was only one time that happened.
He showed
up. Shouldn't happen ever.
He showed up hammered on a Sunday.
It was the it
from
was,
tailgating.
Yeah.
Because Pete has family and friends in every country we play in.
Well, dude, I'm going to be going to Jersey.
Then he complained about me waking him up and taking him to press in the morning. I'm like, do you understand how fucking lucky you are to even do press? Like, I appreciate it every day.
Yeah.
If I, you know, it's a good way. And he's
I wasn't complaining.
Buddy, I'm tired. My voice hurts from doing 45 minutes in front of you.
Oh, come on.
No, all jokes aside, if get you on it. If it's not booked.
My little brother just had a baby, so that's why I'm going home. He just had a baby boy, Luca.
Congrats.
Luca, he named it Luca James Giovine. Luka James.
That's a good name.
Yeah, dude. So
congratulations.
Yeah, man.
God bless.
I've been an uncle to I have best friends of mine, like Trevor and Donnie, have kids, so they call me Uncle Pete. But this is like the first like blood.
It's your blood.
You know, this is the first you know real
are
deal.
Are you going to be his godfather?
I was not asked to be his godfather.
But
I
you will
not,
be.
I mean, I don't know.
You got to be.
Well, I think
I got two goddaughters.
Really?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
You kidding me? My brother's godfather to all my when I have kids, all of them.
It's been really cool though because he just had the baby and I'm seeing it, you know, I'm seeing just pictures and stuff. It'll be cool to I'm giving him a couple weeks and then
dude,
I'm going to visit.
When my brother had his first little girl, fucking I cried, man. And then the second one, it's almost like I had the kid.
Yeah.
And it's just the coolest thing on the planet.
It is really cool, dude.
And you know what else is cool is that I never had sister. Well, I have a stepsister, of course, but she was already older. We were the same age, but I meant like I never had, I had little to have a little girl in your family.
Yeah,
and then to have two of them.
Yeah,
you know.
And my dad actually pulled a class move. Because my parents are divorced, he picked up my mom and he picked my mom up and then brought her to the hospital so they could meet the baby together. I thought that was
that's cool.
Your father's a fucking gentleman.
Yeah, yeah. I thought
that's
that
a,
was cool.
That's a,
you
got to
meet Judge
move.
Judge Giovanni.
Judge G.
Judge G is tremendous.
I have friends that have babies. My brother's not having kids. But my friend, and I don't call myself Uncle Maddie to friends' kids. They introduce me to their kids as Uncle Maddie. So I made some shirts.
There you go, dude. That's great.
For the kids.
Yeah.
Oh, that's nice.
So the kids are running around. Let's see if I can find a picture.
Can I have one of those?
I'll get you one.
My favorite thing to do to the kids, I bring them to Upside Down Town, and that's when I just hold them upside down and tell them that the floor is the ceiling and the ceiling is the floor.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's a learning.
It's normal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's my way of...
Could have changed the kids' perspective.
Kid's going to become a killer. That's amazing, dude. Uncle Maddie, bro.
You know what I love about my little brother, by the way? Is that he, as a father, like his daughter, the daughters don't leave him alone. But we would be in the park, okay? Because he works at night, I work at night, and his wife's a teacher. So we were with the kids all day. We take them to the park. And my goddaughter would just do the jungle gym as a kid at 2 or 3, and she would fall. And all the women in the park would be like, oh, my brother would be like, no, get up. And he would let her get up. Okay.
Yeah.
Through that, she has been able to, and I think it's just spending time with her. She surfs. She was started surfing at 6, right?
Wow.
She could stand on the board. Now she's 8 or 9. She's like legit, and she's also on the tennis squad on the higher level. Like she's playing with the teens.
Yeah.
Right, because they're coaching her, and the girl has no fear.
Yeah, well, remember we had a conversation. We went to lunch that day.
Yeah.
And I was like, the people get two types of attention, sympathy and fear. I mean, sympathy and praise.
Yeah.
It's easy to get sympathy.
Yeah.
Hard work gets praise.
No, you're right.
That breed, that kind of
no, that type
leave
of
her
stuff
alone,
breeds,
let her do.
Let her
and then she'll
let
go,
her do.
She'll go like after the right type of attention.
There's a video of a little girl trying to jump on a box. I don't know if you saw
that. Oh,
it
saw that,
viral.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And the father let her do it.
Yeah.
And then when she did it, she was like, yes.
Yeah.
That's what you got to teach the kids, man.
Yeah.
Because, you know, now you have all these parents that are just so nervous and they insulate and they're just, you know, they're more encouraging as opposed to, you know, like.
Well, they let the kids run the house, too.
I've seen it, man. I've seen it. I've seen some girl. I don't want to get into details where I was, but she was trying on clothes and she couldn't have been more than 12, Pete.
Yeah.
Right. And my wife was in the other thing and the girl and I don't want to even give it away in case anybody give any hints because I don't want to talk about a child that way.
Yeah.
But she comes out of the thing. Her mother asked her if she liked it. And she goes, well, you know, you could use, you know what that could look with nice with. Now, meanwhile, you could tell these they had money. Okay. Yeah. Because we were in an affluent area. And then the little girl goes, whatever, mom. She goes, I don't want to look like a pretentious asshole.
What?
Right? And she went back. And you can tell the mom is always and the mom was like, well, honey, you know, okay. Well, we could dumb it. You know, we could play it down.
Right.
But she like offered her $1,000 shoes or whatever. And the girl was yelled at her. And then she's like, okay, honey, I'll make you look poor.
Yeah.
So you don't look pretentious.
Right,
she's
right.
The type of girl that grows up and marries the kid that opens the fucking typewriter store.
Absolutely. And it's like two the offspring of rich parents with two rich kids that are acting like they.
And have confidence. Like poor people don't have confidence until they fucking. you know, jump into the workforce or whatever.
No, the best is these kids that move into these areas. Like Vinny was talking about it. It's like you have no idea the history of the area, the history of the people that built this, that paved the roads. This isn't – it's not like you're living in a in an area where everybody had college degrees.
Yeah.
And then they come in and they have money and they're trying to assimilate with people that are from there, like mm-hmm. like you.
Yeah.
And then they sit there and they tell you their theories.
They try to feed the animals.
But I'm saying – and then they tell you their theories about the world and how everything should be run.
Yeah.
You know
yeah.
what I mean? And they're shitting on everybody that –
yeah. But they just –
those people are nuts, man. They really are. Dude, I ever tell you a story? There were people were protesting Kentucky Fried Chicken on Wilshire, right? Did I ever tell you this story? And then there, and I go to my girl at the time. I go. I'm just going to try some. I gave this homeless guy $10. I say, hey man, go in there and see if you can get something to eat. And he's trying to get in there, and they
wouldn't let him in.
No, they were blocking the door, yelling at him. I go, these people are fucking crazy.
Well, it's just the one. It's you get. People get there,
but they're like cruelty to chicken. But I was like, at first, I'm like, I didn't even know Kentucky Fried Chicken used real chicken.
Yeah. What other social experiments are you running?
Oh, I do it all the time.
You give a homeless guy $10.
Well, you got to ask. You got to ask yourself what you know. There's levels of getting involved in causes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, if you're listening, it's a good segue.
Yeah.
Today and tomorrow, we're having blood drives at the Children's Hospital. I'll be there tomorrow. So if you guys want to come down, if you're in the area, I'll be there.
Where's the hospital, buddy?
Children's Hospital's on Sunset. You can look on my page or go to my Instagram.
Yeah.
And on my Facebook or my Twitter. I already tweeted it. But it's Vinny Fastline, Johnny LaQuasta, Steve Simone, and me. We do this charity called Regular Hero, and we do blood drives for the Children's Hospital. And listen, the kids need money. People don't realize this. And even if you're listening now, go to a local hospital anywhere. Money is awesome. Toys are great.
Blood trumps all.
Blood trumps it all.
Yeah.
I mean, literally, if people knew how bad it and everybody has it. Maddie, nobody wants your blood.
Yeah.
Everybody
it's tainted.
Wants
that dirty Irish.
Tainted.
It's tainted with all kinds of shit.
With the hard work.
Tainted with
Irish Italian ancestors.
You know, it's so funny. He's just as Italian as I am, but I just break his balls. You know, my stepfather used to call me a Nazi all the time because he's 100%. He's always everybody in my family would break my balls about not being 100%.
Well, you sell Italian like no other.
I think it's more of a region the way you were raised.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's just that's all I was raised
You can't
on.
See. I hear Brett Ernst that's an Italian dude because I know you. You know what I mean?
Yeah, of course. Well, I explain to people, first of all, he knows. I don't really have an accent. If you're in Jersey, I don't have a Jersey accent. I have mannerisms and I talk, you know. Mm. I only lived there. I was born there and then went to middle school there and then moved to Florida.
Yeah.
Like I say Florida. I don't say Florida.
Florida.
You know? It's Manhattan. It's not Manhattan.
Yeah.
You know, when you hear it, you hear it. It's like thick.
Yeah.
But outside of that, people think I do.
Yeah.
Because I speak lazy.
Eleanor talk with the Philly accent. Water.
Oh, that's so bad.
Water.
I used to say water.
Yeah,
I used to say water. Until I lived here for a while, then I got water.
Are people shitting on me saying you do have an accent because it happens?
Yeah,
all
let's
the time.
Say let's go to the videotape here.
I consider South Florida, man. That's why I claim the U. But I love Jersey too, man. I don't know, man. I move so much. I have like an accent like I think I talked about this, like Ozzy Osbourne's kid has that weird, it's like British, but it's not.
Yeah.
Because my parents had it. My stepfather used to.
You're like Madonna.
My step.
So what do you guys think for a list?
Well, I was going to go into Boston. I was going to segue into that.
Okay.
Because I started when I was on Burr's podcast, we started talking about this. But I know you're a huge Boston sports fan.
Yeah.
And that's the benefit of growing up, being born and growing up in one area. Mm-hmm. Like I said, I went to 15 schools. I moved all over. Lived in West Virginia, New Jersey, Florida.
Yeah, you almost had like a military kid type upbringing. Not jumping around so much or witness protection
type upbringing. So growing up there as a Boston, like everything is Boston for you. Nothing. Like you even
– No, a college football.
Well, yeah, you guys are. Well, do you do Boston College or UMass?
I
have it.
No, I do Notre Dame. I love
it. Oh, well, that's okay. That's fair, though.
Yeah.
That's fair. Notre Dame is huge in Boston as well because you're Catholic.
But and when Notre Dame played BC, they did, I think it's like every 2 years they play each other, either one place or the other. It was always like, we don't care who wins. It's just a great game to watch.
Yeah.
Because BC was okay. Never been like a really good football school since that one time.
My close friend was a 4-year starter there. Shout out to Daryl Porter. He actually went to the NFL as well. Played like 6-7 years. But the culture there, though, the sports culture is great.
Yeah.
In Boston. Yeah. In Boston, you're saying.
The thing, you go to a Dodger game, you walk up to somebody, and you're like, oh, what just like, he hears a crowd cheer or something like that. You're what just happened? I have no idea. Mm-hmm. Someone, Boston, everybody at Fenway is fucking hammered. You walk up to them during the fifth inning, and you're like, hey, what happened? It's just like, oh, Pedroia just hit a double off the wall. Bogart scored. Jackie Bradley Jr. scored. And Christian Vasquez advanced to third. They know everything.
This is also what I find unique about Boston. This is a credit. Mm-hmm. Is that they are so politically savvy, and they're just blue-collar guys. They remind me of my grandfather would read the paper every day, knew everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, you guys are really into that. And maybe it's just a founding forefathers culture where you gather, you talk, you guys are like – Massachusetts is really into politics, really into sports. They're into really – I mean, maybe I'm wrong.
The art of conversation.
Yeah, they love
something,
it.
Is something – because it's a bar culture.
Yeah.
And everybody back home, they get out of – they go to lunch. I know guys, the construction workers, go to lunch, drink like 4 or 5 beers, eat, talk to each other, go back to work, get out of work, go to the bar again. And it's just all about having a conversation. And people – it's conservatively liberal back there, mm-hmm. more conservative, a little leaning
Well, right. They're known for being left, though, but
– No, Massachusetts is a liberal state, but Boston is more of a
– Is it really?
It's
I figured them to be like, you know, the way I grew up, like a lot of blue-collar Democrats, you know, like union guys, cops,
firemen. Yeah. I would say that,
you
yeah.
know. But now, I mean, again, everything's changed. Political, everything's changed. But
I don't even know what.
Did you used to go to, like, Fenway and,
I used to work
Foxborough?
Foxborough was a little expensive.
Yeah. But did you go to Fenway?
I used to work on Lansdowne Street at a nightclub when I was in my late teens and early 20s, and this guy who, one of the security guards, he passed away. He's from Southie too. Old guy, old like Harley Davidson dude. It's been so long since I saw him. I forget his name.
Curtis. Let's call him Curtis. Yeah. There you go.
It really doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Vinny. I think it was Vinny.
Wow, that's odd.
Yeah.
And he would walk, when I'd go to set up the bar or like do whatever I had to do, he would walk me into the bleachers and I get to watch the second half of almost every
Did you hear about game. that street, Yawkey? It used Yawkey to be called Way. Yawkey Way. They renamed it. They brought it back to – it used to be called Jersey
Street. Pete hosted a beer drinking contest.
Yeah. No, but it was
– hosted a flip cup contest.
It was originally called Jersey Way or whatever. Then they renamed it to Yawkey Way in the 70s, and then they just switched it back because apparently Yawkey was racist.
Yeah, well, a lot of people
which,
don't
by
know,
the way, everyone was in the 40s and 50s.
A lot of people don't know that the Red Sox could have had Willie Mays, Roberto Clemente.
Right.
Josh Gibson.
He wasn't – yeah, he didn't go for it.
He hollow notes the shit out of that. And he just would go with the white dudes. We got Ted Williams. But my opinion on them changing the name.
Yeah, does it matter?
I don't.
Here's the thing, though, and this is
if
my.
If people have a problem
only,
with it, sure.
This is my only problem with it. And it is. It's a mixed bag.
Mm-hmm.
You can't judge history. You just learn from it.
Sure. Yeah, that's what
you
I'm
know
saying.
What I mean?
Yeah.
You can't.
You can't apply today's standards to things that happened 50,
like,
60
years
ago.
Let's just say Jonas Salk, okay, and he wasn't, so let me clarify this. I'm just making an example. Mm-hmm. Let's just say Jonas Salk was a racist. It still doesn't eliminate the fact that he found the polio vaccine.
Yeah.
And or, you know, we have to learn from it and just keep moving on from it. I don't understand why people in their 20s and 30s are going back decades to find things that could have affected them if they lived back then.
Right.
It doesn't affect you now.
It's selective, though,
but
too.
But at the same time, should you honor that guy? Like, I get the fact that, like for instance, if I was a black dude and I got to go to a school like Jim Crow school.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm like, fuck that. Why is a school in a black neighborhood named after somebody that didn't want to give me a right to vote? Sure. Which there is no Jim Crow. I'm just making an example.
Right.
Then now that's gray area. But if you got a guy that, we have just have so much emphasis on identity politics.
Didn't Yawkey own the Red Sox for like 40 years or something?
He owned them for a long time. Yeah,
like you can't judge.
But if you, the way I see it is our culture is selective. Like Cosby just got, arraigned or whatever. Not arraigned.
Convicted.
Found guilty, right?
Yeah.
Before he was even found guilty, nothing. No Cosby show, no Fat Albert, no stand-up from Bill Cosby on any platform. But you snap on the radio and Michael Jackson's Don't Stop Till You Get Enough or Beat It or whatever is still playing.
Right.
He was accused. Michael Jackson was accused. Our culture is like, we can't live. Like anytime you have a post-pot, like a wedding or something, they can't, the older middle-aged white women can't fucking get enough of Michael Jackson.
Right.
But you know, it's. I think it's funny too to add to that. But mm-hmm. what's sad is that's our idea now. Like everything's pop culture.
Sure.
I was in front of the Improv. I was talking with another comic, and he was like, "Man, you know, I don't want to use names, but he said another comic made a comment about another comic's ethnicity, and nobody cared." Ugh. And I'm thinking, because it's not a real issue.
No.
Right. Why are we march? First of all, pop culture is something, it's icing on, it's not even icing on a cake. How unimportant it is. It's the, maybe, what would you call it? Okay, we'll just say icing on the cake. But you, at the end of the day, it's not curing any diseases.
No, it's
but
just,
we
it's,
use pop culture as like a barometer of equality.
Yeah.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Meanwhile, there's no businesses opening, you know, nobody's encouraging, like Mike Rowe does, blue collar work, learning a trade, how to be self-sufficient economically, how to invest money. And that goes across the board. Like, well, I don't know shit about finances. I mean, Pete has a portfolio.
Yeah.
You have a whole bit about it.
Yeah.
Well, if you look at that,
they don't teach that in school though. Yeah, they don't teach you what a mutual fund is, what an IRA is. And I'm just saying is that the way our schools were set up is for an agrarian society. You learn the basics, you go mm-hmm. out, but the whole world's changed. And now the social issues are what some comic or some actress said.
It's to make somewhat, because you don't see the people that put that shit on Facebook and Instagram, you rarely see them having that conversation when they're out with their friends or with other people.
Not.
They want that to make themselves look
it's virtue signaling.
And the thing is, like,
and
okay,
it's so much easier to virtue signal when you zero in on a celebrity and say, well, look what this person did. I hate this person.
Right.
That makes me great, even though I just sit at home and I'm not donating blood on Friday and Saturday for kids.
Speaking of,
down to the Children's Hospital.
Karina DiMartino says, "Hey, Brett, my daughter donates blood all the time after I was given many pints of blood a few years ago. Can you give her a shout out? Brittany Weinbolt is her name.
Weinbolt.
Yeah, shout out to Brittany.
Thank you so much for
donating. But anyways, getting back to
so ahead. What I was going to say. Is
but
like,
you're right, Michael Jackson. Everybody, but when, not when they were both found guilty. When they were both accused,
mm-hmm.
you were saying that Bill Cosby you couldn't find anywhere, but Michael Jackson you could find everywhere.
And now, you got this Gene Yawkey thing. Okay, this not Gene Yawkey. This Tom Yawkey, Yawkey Way thing. Okay, and people are outraged that he was everybody knew he was a racist in the 70s, 80s, 90s, 2000s, and now it's just an issue.
Yeah,
now it's
exactly
like, okay, if you're gonna change the name of that, get rid of Disney World, get rid of Disneyland. If you're really attack the big dog instead of the little dog first. I think it's fine that they take the name of the street off if it's bothering people.
Yeah.
I don't know personally the history of the guy.
It went back to the original name Jersey, which is a great name.
Sure.
Getting back to that point though, Maddie, Disney World's a private company. It calls itself whatever it wants.
Sure, for sure.
If that's a public street mm-hmm. and people don't want it, see, whether you agree with it, I mean, then
I'm not talking about change the name of Disney World. I'm just saying, if you don't
get rid of it, out of everything.
Just don't support.
Yeah, but then it again, it's what it evolves to. I mean,
but again, it goes to Bill Cosby, Michael Jackson, the bigger dog.
Guess who's never getting on ABC? You were just up for this. You were just up for this role on Disney, but somehow,
yeah, they found this.
I've auditioned for them a ton. They Nah, I loved it.
Nah, I know. I guess I'm joking.
Buena Vista Productions. You're the shit.
I get what you're saying.
No, it's just like we.
It's not, you're not saying anything bad about what you're saying. More about selective anger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why can't? Why do you have to direct it at like? I don't know. It's something that I've
it's
made
going
a conscious decision.
It's going away now, though. It's going away. People are just so tired of it.
I've just personally made a conscious decision not to pay attention to this shit anymore. Because 90% of the time, and that's a fucking made up number in my head, but it feels like 90% of the time, whoever's barking or talking about this shit is a fucking privileged white person that feels some sort of guilt from their history,
right,
to say something, or they just want attention. They just want attention for themselves.
But you know what's crazy is you're a pretty liberal dude, man.
I am, yeah.
And I'm center. I'd say center right, maybe center left. I don't know. But
I'm kind of like that too.
But
like,
but you're more you're way more than me. And in a sense, when we used to talk, and you are pretty left too.
Oh yeah.
But it's got
I'm a lefty.
It's got so fucking bad that they're losing us.
Yeah.
You know, like it's like they're losing us. Like people like us, are leaving. We have nowhere to go.
This whole Donald Trump thing is one of the catalysts for it, because it made people choose there were people like us that walked the line.
Dude, listen, what Trump is doing in North Korea is great. What bringing Iran to the table is great.
But just
the fact that you could even say he's doing anything good will send him in a fucking frenzy.
When he was running, we do have immigration problems. The fact, the way he talked about immigration
problems. Look, we all agree. The guy's got to take a lesson in
public. Yeah. He has to go, what are the Toastmasters?
Yeah, like, and he's, it's like, what are you doing? I mean, look, whatever, who cares? I'm just saying.
No, I'm just saying that was a clear, like, that in our culture right now, it made people take a side.
Well, I think, yeah.
And
well,
then people like us that walk down the middle of the street.
Which is 80% of America, by the way.
Yeah.
I mean, most people consider themselves centrists.
Yeah.
There's not many people even registered Republican and Democrat. It's like 20-something percent of Americans. And even like, I was a lifelong Democrat. I switched in like 10 years ago, I went independent. But everybody's still in this corral. Nobody's that far left or far right. Most people are here, and I just feel like both those voices are going away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because people are fed up.
Well, that whole fucking media thing back in the 80s at Ronald Reagan, and nobody blames Reagan was the
Pete
greatest.
Pete does. Pete brought up a great point about that.
Like he took it. That's why there's two different sides of media.
Well, what he did then is what's going on now. Because back then, it was the more conservative people that still ran Hollywood. So when you brought that up, when he took the League of Women's Voters away and made it a network debate, it's because the people in Hollywood were friendly to him.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That's what's happening now, but the other way.
The other way.
And people are responding to that. Yeah. You know, until Hollywood – see, comics understand it because we're literally in 30 cities a year. This network understands it because it's just people talking. It's just ideas. Nobody's a bad person for expressing ideas. The industry, on the other hand, has really gone away from the other side of the aisle just because they're trying to eliminate that. I think they've been going that way for a while. Now they're unapologetic about it, but that's because of what's in office.
Yeah.
But most people
that don't watch Saturday Night Live anymore because it's just so far left that it's not even fun. Like they just pound the Republicans.
It's just nonstop
through the floor, and it's like
it's almost hack now.
Yeah, and I mean, I still like the
but
show.
But I'm still fair.
I'd love to go to you know. but
whatever.
Billy Blue Jimenez says, "Hey fucker, slow your roll on Disney World, happiest place on earth. God damn it,
it is."
Billy, go underneath those streets and you'll see, you'll see what's under there, Billy.
And you know, and I just want to say lastly, and then we can move on because I want to get to this list.
Yeah, let's do it.
The last thing I do want to say is that, and I hear this a lot from people when I travel. Most people in Hollywood are good people, and they have good intentions. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, all of my friends are part that far left. I mean, I would say majority of my friends are that way. They mean well. They're good people. They don't hate other people. It's those loud voices from like the Antifa types and you know, you will, you know, that type of crazy shit, the activists.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But
and that exists on both sides, you know.
Yeah, but it's more here. And I'm seeing it more here.
You notice a lot.
I'm sorry, Petey, but the pendulum has fucking changed. It has really changed. I could count on my hands the alt-right maniacs. What's bothering me is some of our intellectuals are spewing this social justice warrior rhetoric that is insanity to me.
Yeah.
And it has nothing to do because I'm their target enemy. It has nothing to do with that. There's no pragmatism. There's no dialogue. I told you I was watching that thing in Seattle where they're discussing gender, transgenderism and gender fluidity, whatever. And I'm trying to learn because I don't really know enough about it. And then they just stand up, kick the speaker. Yeah. You don't see that anymore. It's almost like they even say that even if your dialogue is against ours.
How old was the person that kicked the speaker?
They were all college kids.
Yeah, that's the thing.
But the other thing that's bothering me is these college professors.
When you speak to somebody, and I'm not talking about millennials.
Yeah.
I'm saying when you speak to somebody that's under the age of 24 now, and they don't agree with what you're saying, they throw a fucking fit.
Yeah.
They do. They it's not like, you tell them they can't do something. Like, oh, I'm going to light this fucking dumpster on fire. You can't do that. I'll do whatever the fuck I want, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. It's like, dude, it's just not what you're supposed to do. But I want to do it. No, you can't do it. It's all what they want and how they feel. And they get...
No, it's they are... I personally think that universities are brainwashing kids. Because the rhetoric they use... I mean, I had a conversation. Imagine this. I had a conversation with a person. Again, I'm vague.
Mm-hmm.
And we were discussing stuff, and they were using the terms white privilege, patriarchy, blah, 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 right? And then they said, you know, something that may not affect you, you may, you know, you feel that. And but by the way, everything that they're advocating is for them.
Right.
But I'm not supposed to vote in my best interest. But then at the same time, this is what bothered me. And I even said to this person, I said, look, I like you, but I think you need to see somebody because the level of toxicity is off the charts. They started bringing up AIDS. And then when I explained to them, I said, listen, I do care about those issues because my brother passed from that. They're like, so,
whoa.
Right. That, so what? Then you're thinking, then I said to them, I said, look, I'm not offended by your passion. Mm-hmm. And it's so funny. I get jacked up over this, but if you've ever seen me in a real conversation on this, I'm really kind of low key and try and be intellectual with it.
Mm-hmm.
I said, but that response right there means you're so far gone from the issue of what's right or what's wrong.
Sure.
As opposed to just being a person of compassion and understand that, yes, I agree that probably most of the privileged people in America are white, but there are black people with privilege and there are women have a shit ton of privilege.
I was talking to
and this was a chick. I'm like, as a woman, you have way more different types of, there's nothing more privileged than a white woman demanding, you know, like I just saw a video where these three women were beating on a fucking dude. And then as soon as he pushed them, they're like, you're not supposed to put your hands on us, you know? And
so I'm supposed to get a concussion while you wail on me.
And she threw a glass at the guy. Yeah. But I mean, again, I'm not making this about that. I'm saying there are benefits to everything. But when you get away from compassion and humanity and what the real issues are, like, you know, I'm not going to tell an Asian mom, you don't know what it's like to have a kid, you know, a kid that's sick. Because you're not of this persuasion. It makes no sense. If you're poor, you're poor. If you're sick, you're sick. If you need money, you need help. Which is why I love the charity that we work with. When you come to the children's hospital and you come and you see people, death has no, it does not, it does, has no discrimination.
Yeah.
And when you're in the trenches with real problems, with real people, with real problems, they see past all that nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because everybody's in it.
Yeah.
And I think that's what this generation's lacking. I just went on a fucking tirade.
It's all good. Let's try to
wrangle. So let's talk about
list.
The top 10 Boston athletes of all time.
Chris Foster says that's why white chicks are the fucking worst. I want a salad, no croutons.
That's the thing.
Lettuce.
You know, look,
the thing that, look, I was talking to an African, a black woman comic the other day, And she was just like, what people don't realize is there's poor white people too. And they go through the same thing as
it. Yeah, of course.
Like you said, death doesn't discriminate. Poverty doesn't discriminate.
Doesn't.
You know, and like moving on from that shit, because this is supposed to be a funny podcast.
Well, no, I mean, dude, it is what it is. I mean, we haven't talked about this shit in a while, but it's just relevant because.
Well, I come from a neighborhood that was one of like a really hard working class neighborhood. And then you got these people moving in. These entitled people, like we brought up earlier, and they kind of
Shit on the heritage.
Well, they like, I live in Southie now. I live in, they called it, they don't even call it Southie. They call it SoBo.
Oh,
yeah.
Awful.
Yeah.
South of Boston.
Yeah.
SoBo. Look, I'm for progression. I'm for progression for the sake of progression, not for the sake, like I could be for me and not against you.
Yeah.
They are for them and against everything else.
Well, They're like locusts. They go into, because they don't stay in the city. When they go there and they live there until they're like 28, 29, 30, they meet their wife or
and then they move
husband,
to the suburbs, right?
Then they move to the suburbs. They suck the life out of the neighborhood.
Yeah, it's almost like a kid that's going away to college knowing that they're not going to stay there forever.
Yeah, so they piss all over the dorm room.
But when you were there, they were families that were like, this is our roots. We got two generations of
we all knew each other. People's parents were hanging out the window. School. What are you doing? Well, you should be, you know. I went to grad.
We
got to
accept the fact that those days are gone.
Yeah,
and that this is a progression.
Yeah,
and but at the same time, I think even the sports. Let's get into sports because I was going to say
this.
Yeah,
let's do it.
A lot of athletes are into branding more as opposed, like they're playing for themselves as much for the team.
Well, it's a biz. It's more of a business.
It is.
And you talk about Yawkey, like he would back in those days. You played for the Cardinals.
Yeah.
You played. That's your life. You're a Cardinal. You're a Yankee. You're a Red Sox.
Right.
You're on the Giants. Like Willie Mays wasn't like. And then in the 70s, Reggie Jackson.
Oh.
Reggie Jackson was one of the first players to go, you know what? I deserve more money. I don't want to be an Oakland A anymore.
So you think it was Reggie Jackson when he went to the Yankees?
Well, he was the first big.
Because there was that. I mean, there was some of that going on, but.
But they, and then in the early 90s is when they had that, you know, they had the strike because things were getting a little
out of hand. This is an interesting question. Right? Well, I'm claiming it's interesting. Mm-hmm. But do you think that, because I personally think that the owners were taking advantage of people.
Oh,
But do you think that they preyed on our blue collar or lower income, middle class? And I don't mean this, no disrespect to you, Petey, but. That wasn't your upbringing, even though everybody you're with is solid.
Yeah, yeah.
But when you're like lower class, there's this thing that we have this weird sense of pride
and loyalty,
and loyalty, which is why you see kids getting shot over nothing.
Right.
And you know, when you go into a bar, there's nothing more that brings a group of guys together when you're fighting for your life against another group of guys.
In my neighborhood, you'd see a guy that hated another guy. And then that guy's getting like picked on or beat up from another neighborhood. That one, he'll cross the street, help the guy that he hates, kick the shit out of the guy from the other neighborhood, and then he'll walk back across the street and hate
you. Yeah, right.
That's actually, I have a cool story about that because these kids that we used to fight all the time, they were like our rivals. If we ever saw each other, it was on. I mean, and this went on for years. And then one time we were all out one night and then some other dudes came up, right? And they were not. And we ended up fighting together against these kids.
There you go.
But the point is, do you think that these sports owners monopolize that trait in our blue collar blood? Like,
of course.
Like, you know, when like with the Steelers, because those guys they eat, breathe, die. Like the Pittsburgh is one of the best sports cities ever. Boston, where they prey on that allegiance.
Well, Yawkey knew the guys. Yawkey knew he had Williams. He had
Yawkey. Can we get past Yawkey and get
back in those days, no, this is the time we're talking about. Yawkey would.
Isn't that a Polish ravioli?
Gnocchi?
No, I'm thinking of pierogi. Never mind.
Yeah, pierogi.
Gnocchi's Italian. Yeah. Never mind, guys.
Well,
they
would throw these guys a couple of extra bucks. You know, but they don't pay him a lot of money.
Nah.
Like Mickey Mantle didn't make a lot of money.
My grandfather told me that the Brooklyn Dodgers were all fucking, there was like, you'd see them bagging groceries on weekends.
Yeah. I got a bit about the Frankie Valli in the Four Seasons. They got day jobs in the green room bit that I did. I did it down in La Jolla that time I went down with you. Music has no pain.
Oh, yeah.
Whatever. But, yeah, these guys, like, the Dutch baseball, national baseball team in the World Baseball Classic, they were calling this past couple, maybe 4 years ago, they show them on the phone calling their jobs back home, saying, hey, can I have a couple more days off? I'm about to play in the championship for the national, like the World Baseball Classic.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the way it used to be here with most athletes. Like Ted Williams, Mickey Mantle, those guys probably made enough playing baseball. But
I mean, it's all relevant, too, to what price cost of living back then.
Sure.
But I'll be honest with you, that's why I love women in sports. Because they if anything, they play for pride, dude.
For sure.
You ever see, like, the chick soccer team is dope?
Oh, yeah.
I like watching the girls' soccer team better than the men's.
Dude, those girls, even like when you watch them fight, because there's no, that's all they're playing for.
Yeah.
There's nobody giving them a $20 million signing bonus.
I'm not saying like Mia Hamm, but that's like an anomaly.
But I'm saying, but she got that fame because she played with Art.
Sure.
You know, like our girls' soccer team is dope.
They're fucking amazing.
You know?
The hockey team, too.
Yeah, the hockey. That's the other one I meant to bring up. Dude, did you watch that game
at
4 in the morning?
Uh huh.
With the shootout?
Yeah.
I was fucking screaming at the top of my lungs.
They've been throwing out the first pitch
at Fenway. The Olympics, man.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
every fucking game that some girl from the U.S. Olympics
team. That's the other thing about dudes in general across the board. We more base things on a meritocracy. You know what I mean? I forgot who had the joke. It might have been Owen when he was talking about how this was old Owen but he was talking about how men have this trait, like Pete. If I introduce Pete, you brag about him. You don't like. I'm be like, you got to see this guy's cock. It's the biggest thing you've ever seen. His root is phenomenal, right? It's that we like to take guys that and we build them up.
Yeah.
Like if I know you're faster than me and stronger than me, mm-hmm. I'm not hating on you. Right. I'm like, dude, you got to see my boy.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, and I think men, we do base things on a meritocracy more. We're like, you know. If you a certain type of dude,
sure,
you know what I mean. Like if a guy knocked me out, I'm okay with it.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. As long as it was fair and it was one on one,
yeah.
And I'll say people,
impressive.
This guy fucking dropped me in one shot.
Yeah.
You know, and then you become friends with him, or
yeah.
You know, or we fight again. But it's that type of thing. And in men's sports, you know, there's something about there's something about seeing somebody superior.
Right,
that you want to either, you know, you want to say, hey,
check
like
them out.
Like even my quarterback, like how many guys I met that were dicks, just cocky, but they can fucking win.
Yeah,
I don't
care,
win the game.
Yeah,
you know.
Let's go to a top 10 Boston athletes, guys.
Well, we have time. We have like
let's
another
talk about
20
it.
Minutes. Yeah, no, let's get into it. But we were talking about the branding thing though, and the owners I think do prey on the loyalty of that. Middle class, lower middle class.
Yeah. They used to
guys,
yeah.
You know, because there is an identity, and there is, and you know, this is the other thing about sports. It's such a bonding experience for people because A, if you're on the same team, you love it, and if I don't like your team, you bond through the arguing.
Sure.
And if you've ever played team sports, you played baseball, right?
I played soccer, baseball, hockey, basketball.
Did you play at a competitive level or?
I played soccer and baseball at a high school level. And
Pete, you didn't play, right?
I played soccer.
Soccer?
That was it, yeah.
Because, you know,
soccer and then Little League Baseball I played.
When you're on a team, man, and you're with those guys.
It's the best.
Yeah, you know, then you learn. You know what else team sports teaches you? How to compete with your friends.
Yeah.
You know? I would say that's the biggest problem that I had when I came out here. Was dealing with, we bond right away because we're the same ilk.
Yeah.
You know, we bond, but like we could be sitting there talking aggressive.
Right.
And
I love watching the two of you go after each other.
I'm saying. And that's us bonding as men. Like
yeah.
Even with the Tripoli podcast,
yeah.
Like me and him were arguing. We do this shit. We do it all the time. That's how men bond.
Yeah.
There are those beta guys that are like, this guy's a jerk. This guy, you know, that aren't in that. I don't even want to call them betas. It's just different.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, and that are like. They don't know how to filter that. You know what I mean? But with guys like us, it's just us being fucking.
Yeah, because at the end of the day, it's not gonna turn into anything. It's like,
well, but it's fun.
Yeah.
Like, I know it. If I'm sitting at the bar next to a dude and we start talking, and right out the gate he goes, dude, you're fucking stupid. You don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I love that.
I'm like, I love this guy.
Yeah.
We're gonna have a long,
this guy's awesome.
We're gonna be drinking by the end of this fucking thing.
But if he puts your hand in his hand in your hair and like fucking.
Oh, yeah. If he. Did I ever tell you that story after the show? Some dude put his. He went to me and he was like, he was upset at something I said, and then he put his hand on my cheek.
Oh, no.
Oh, fuck, dude. And then afterwards, I go to my brother. This was in Missouri.
Yeah.
I forget. I'll tell you. You want to hear the story or not?
Yeah, tell.
All right. So we're in Missouri, and this guy had opened up this club, and I brought Keith with me to open. So long story boring, you know, we had some rough crowds, and this dude came up to me. He was, you know, he was from the area, and he said to me, hey, man, you know, I didn't like some of that stuff you said. And, you know, and I said, dude, it was a joke. And I said, I don't really care what you think. Right. So, yeah. Whereas, and then he went like this. He went, all right. And I saw his hand coming, and he went like that. And then, dude, it was on.
Really?
Right? Oh, yeah. So afterwards, I broke a table. It was bad. So now I go to my brother. I said, I don't think the owner's going to pay us. You know, I said, I go in the office. The fucking guy is like, that's the greatest shit I've ever seen.
That's amazing.
He wrote me the check. He booked me 3 times.
That's amazing.
That's amazing.
And that fucking he tells that story all the time, man. Because awesome. He hangs out. He comes out to L.A. every now and then to book comics. That was years. I was still in my 20s. Anyways, all
right. I had that happen. Joe Pesci did that to me. I told you that story, right?
Well, that's okay.
Yeah. No, fucking I thought it was the greatest thing
in
the world.
If you're older than me.
Uh-huh.
You know.
Yeah. Oh, I thought it was the greatest thing in the world. I wasn't going to like.
It's like football. It's like jerseys. I don't wear any jersey of anybody in my age range and younger. But if I'd wear a Joe DiMaggio jersey.
Yeah.
You know, I wear a Tony Dorsett or Randy White jersey.
I think they're old enough to be my dad. Brady jersey. I think Ortiz and Brady.
Great segue. Okay.
Carlos Rodriguez, he says, ask your guest in a busy top 5 restaurant in Boston, one table left. Who gets the table? Larry Bird, Big Poppy, or Tom Brady?
Well, that's a great segue.
Yeah.
So let's do a top 10 Boston athletes. I want your
Bird,
opinion.
Bird, because he has a bad back.
Actually, because I was talking to Burr about this, and we did his top 5. We glanced over it, then we got into drummers. Yeah. But I really want to hear your opinion, all right, because this is our top 10 list. We're going to do the top 10, not best athletes out of Boston, but who I think Boston loves the most.
Yeah.
Slash,
yeah.
We'll
who drinks for free in Boston?
I mean, well, let's just get it. They all do.
Yeah. I mean, Johnny Damon, right?
But he went to the Yankees.
I know, but I mean.
But we've got, let's do top 5.
Okay.
So here's mine. I would say Tom Brady over Bird.
No.
But would you say that? Would Bird, like, who's number one?
The way I look at it, number one for me is Ted Williams.
Okay.
Number one, Ted
Greatest
Williams.
Hitter of all time.
Arguably, yeah.
Isn't he frozen too?
He's got his brain, his face, his head's frozen in Arizona somewhere.
Yeah.
His son did it, yeah. I don't know, cryogenically froze his head. Like, what the hell are you doing?
You never know.
What was that?
Lake Havasu.
Yeah.
He said Lake Arrowhead.
Yeah. what do you think about Ted Williams being the number one? Should we let Maddie Fontana be the final judge here?
Maddie picks, but I mean, I would have to disagree with as a great, like, you know, who encompasses Boston sports. I mean, if you say Ted Williams, I'll go with
that. You go into any restaurant, any bar, like any, like, not fancy place. Any restaurant,
we'll
any
Ted Williams.
You'll see something Ted Williams. You'll see something.
Might even be on the menu.
Brady's starting to get like Tom. The thing is, you can see Tom Brady still play. You could up until a year ago. You could see David Ortiz still play.
But
now our guys back home, you got Bill Russell.
That's what I was going to say.
You got Larry Bird. You got Bobby Orr.
Yeah, Bobby Orr was in my top 5.
And then people back home love the fighters. So you also got the Cam Neelys. You got the Derek Sanderson.
Who's the Italian kid from the North End boxer? I got a picture of him. He'll come to me.
Put me on the spot.
It don't matter. Go ahead.
But even you got like Mickey Ward.
So you got Ted Williams over Bird.
You got Sugar. Fuck. You got
Hagler. Oh, was Hagler from Boston?
Hagler's a Massachusetts guy, yeah.
I didn't know that. I thought he was – what? I think he was from Detroit. Oh, Tommy Hearns was from Detroit.
Hearns is Detroit.
No, but I'm saying, though, because this may be my opinion, All right, because somebody, I was talking about this with a couple people, obviously. Mm-hmm. All of them said Brady.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why? They said championships. They said, then you got to go Bill Russell.
Russell. And right? then Cousy. And then, right. I mean, these guys all have, like, Cousy has, I think, 9 or 8.
But
and you, Russell has 11.
But Tom Brady, and again, I love Brady. I put Montana over Brady, but I love Brady over Montana. Montana ruined my childhood.
But isn't there something that is not, that doesn't jive with what
that's,
Boston is?
That's what
that,
I was going to
that
say.
That Tom Brady represents. You know what I'm saying?
He like, doesn't represent. Like, he, you don't look at Tom right. Brady and go,
when
"That's
you,
a blue collar worker."
When you think of Boston, you
but
think
he
of
is.
Boston,
Tom Brady
think
wears Uggs. He's married to a supermodel.
That's what
he's,
I'm saying.
Tom Brady is the fucking James Bond
right.
of the National Football League.
But he
and
is.
A professional
all, but he
sport.
Is also a blue collar kid.
But
right?
he's also like he doesn't get on. He doesn't grab the microphone in an interview. And be like, you know, follow me at Tom Brady. You know what I mean? Or like, I'm promoting like fucking what is it? Tag Heuer watches, and he's like, he doesn't do that shit. He
yeah.
is still a blue collar guy, even though he never was.
Yeah,
a blue
and he's like a
guy.
Vegan, right?
Yeah, I'm just saying.
Well, he's got his own weird diet.
There's something that doesn't really kind of go with.
He doesn't jive.
When
what,
you think of Boston athletes, you know, that are great. And you're thinking of like Larry Bird. You're thinking of
who,
as like,
who's not a talented
you know,
basketball player.
But
Larry
but
Bird
the
was
heart,
all
the
hot.
Heart. The heart that he had all the years that he's battling the Lakers. I mean, it was mm-hmm. just like a bunch of white guys against a bunch of black dudes, you know, yeah. essentially. And, you know,
well, we had the Chief
rebounding
DJ.
His own shot and putting it in. And, all you know, there was yeah. a heart level that represented Boston. Whereas Tom Brady, great athlete and all that stuff. But he's a little bit blow dried and a little bit something that exactly.
And then all of a sudden he shows you like when he tries to, he's like the last guy and someone's running, you know, an interception back.
Right.
Which rarely happens because he doesn't throw a lot of those.
That's a farce, but go
ahead. He's the last. He'll lay out. He'll try and tackle the
yeah,
guy.
Yeah.
He'll miss, maybe on purpose, but
yeah.
'cause he don't want to get hurt. But he'll lay out for it.
But
you
it's
know?
Like Bird said, he's not like Bird who's paving his own driveway.
Yeah,
no,
yeah.
That's how he hurt his back.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's putting in the work, the wrong work.
I would say if as an outsider looking in, I would say again, Bird would be. The, I mean,
top
number one.
I think.
And
I think,
I mean, I never saw
I
Ted Williams
two,
play.
I think there's two before him. If you talk to people from back home too,
yeah,
I think it's. I think it's
Ted Williams
and
one.
Bobby Orr.
Bobby Orr.
Oh, yeah, Bobby Orr's another
people one. Love hockey. But hockey's bigger than anything. Hockey and baseball.
But
back
it was when
Boston.
You were growing up. Now it's got football's got to be huge up there, man. You guys are a fucking dynasty. You were a dynasty
in
the hardest
in
the time
city.
To ever be a dynasty.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, twice we missed the playoffs in 18, 19 seasons.
Dude, my next question, though, would be why not Bill Belichick over Brady? I mean,
not you said players, not coaches.
But I meant he's still a sports figure.
No, these are athletes. Let's stick with athletes. I mean, and I get what you're saying.
Yeah,
you know, obviously Bill
like,
Belichick's a
like
fucking
Mike Ditka.
Genius.
Mike Ditka is a god in Chicago.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Like
yeah.
Bill Belichick should be.
He
a,
is.
Tom Landry was a god in Dallas.
Would it be fair to say the top five
right
would
back.
Be Bill Russell, Tom Brady, Larry Bird, Bobby Orr, and Ted Williams?
One more time.
What about Ortiz though?
Russell, Tom Brady, Larry Bird, Bobby Orr, and Ted Williams.
Top five?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who are your top five?
I would go Ted Williams, number one. Bobby Orr, number two.
Okay.
Bird, three.
Yep, that's exactly what I've said.
You'd put Russell over Brady or Brady over Russell? What's the peanut gallery chiming in?
I'm gonna go Brady over Russell.
Okay.
Only because Bill Russell won 10 championships.
I know.
11 championships.
I think there was only 18 teams in, right, or something?
He beat the Lakers 9 times, I think.
Yeah, I'm just saying. Bill Russell.
The thing is, and it was a different time period. Then again, though, Brady's playing in the era. We've had this conversation a million times. The era of, like, you can't touch a quarterback without getting a 10-yard
penalty.
Oh, no,
dude. It's a passer's game now. There's no running game even anymore.
But the guys that I mean, if you talk to people from back home, there's like they'll throw Wade Boggs into the argument.
I
own a Boggs jersey.
That's my bottom
10.
Boggs. Wait, your Wade Boggs is my Don Mattingly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cam Neely and Derek Sanderson. Like I said,
I love Edelman.
Edelman. You,
that kid's a stud. I love that kid.
You got Grogan, Tippett, Flutie. Like, that people will throw
Rogan.
Around. Yeah, people throw those
Andre
names around.
Andre Tippett, absolutely.
People throw those names around.
What about Irving Fryer?
Willie McGinnis.
I think Wade Boggs belongs on this list somewhere.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Like, he's a quintessential Boston athlete.
I think he was one of those guys.
You got to put Ortiz
on there. I mean, then you
got
David Ortiz, of course.
Yeah, you got to put Ortiz on there.
Three championships.
Just put Ortiz down because he might break it to the top five.
Okay.
He's got to. I want to make some arguments.
You got Phil Esposito. You got, these are all hockey. Ray Bourque, Cam Neely.
You just name it players, though. We're talking about, like, legends.
Bourque?
Yeah, I guess.
Only reason why his name isn't talked about as one of the best defensemen in the NHL history is because he never won a championship. He had to go to Colorado to do it.
No.
And after he did it, he put billboards up all over Boston saying, thank you for letting me leave to win a championship. This is a lifelong dream. And he won one in...
So he doesn't buy a drink at all anywhere in the
No.
God, Luca
no.
Polanka says, Spock! What up, Luca?
All right, dude. So, that's... Okay, then we'll put him on.
Bourque, definitely.
I got Ortiz, Russell, Brady, Bird, or Williams.
Oh, what about Mickey Ward?
No, I would go Hagler, though.
Hagler?
Yeah.
What about Andre Tippett?
Nope. He didn't contribute.
Pedro Martinez.
He wasn't there long enough. He was only there for five seasons.
Yeah, he was. I was gonna say. I think
if you look at the Red Sox,
is Johnny Damon hated for going to the Yankees or no? Because he was.
We already talked.
Do any of those?
Karl Yastrzemski needs to be.
Karl Yastrzemski. Him down.
Which one is it?
Karl Yastrzemski.
And where does that go?
He goes after. I'll put him in front of Hagler.
Okay. So what I was going to ask was, do any of the players from the Red Sox, when they won the World Series, what was that, in 03 or whatever?
04.
Do any of those guys, like Curt Schilling, like Johnny Damon, are they even brought into the conversation of the top 10 legendary Boston
no,
athletes?
Not
like, why is that, though?
David Ortiz is.
So Ortiz is the only guy?
Yeah.
Because it's like they returned.
Well, Johnny
they got a World Series.
Jumped on the bus out of town. Curt Schilling.
The whole Red Sox and everything?
Curt Schilling was there for two, three seasons tops. The Red Sox thing. I mean, it was the
Bobby
one
Orr
story.
Retired young, too.
Well, he was like Bird.
Yeah, he got hurt.
Yeah, he couldn't walk.
We would. You don't even know what he could have done. Like, how many championships after that?
And he still holds, I think, some of the Bruins' records.
It's crazy.
He was a scoring defenseman.
That's crazy.
You know, he would score, like, I think it one season, don't quote me on this, I think he had like 50 goals in one season as a defenseman.
That just lets you know how great Gretzky was.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you look at everybody's like the best players in the league nowadays in the NHL. You're like, oh, they have 82 points. Gretzky would score 80 goals.
Yeah, that's crazy.
He'd
yeah.
have 135 points in his season, 140 points.
That's crazy.
But Lemieux was the same way. And now they talk about the greatest in the game, and they're like... He's got he finished the season with 40 goals. And you're like, he played 82 games.
Yeah.
And he had, you know, 25 minutes per game of ice time. Like, he should have scored double.
More, yeah.
No, it's insane, man. It just lets you know. Like, and even with Gretzky and Rice, I think those are the only two players that you can't really argue are not the best ever.
Jordan.
No, you could still, people can argue that. There's arguments for LeBron. There's debates on that. Me, I agree. I think Jordan, you know, is
Jerry,
I mean,
Rice
and Allen Iverson brought up a great point. He's like, what about Kobe? How are we skipping over Kobe? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Why does it just go from Jordan to LeBron? What the fuck happened? It should be Kobe, LeBron, and then the winner of that debate, Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to Jerry Rice or Wayne Gretzky, I mean, you can maybe say Lemieux.
Chris Foster says
no. He
Chris
even
Foster
close.
Says, "What about Paul Pierce? Didn't he get cut in half in a bar fight one time?"
He got shot at Buzz Nightclub by a dude. I used to work at a bank when I was a teenager, and this dude that I worked with's friend was in the gang, I guess, that shot him at a place. Yeah, it was called Buzz Nightclub. It went through. I think
we should have did top 10 Boston people ever, because I would have thrown New Edition on there and then New Kids on the Block.
Yeah. All right. Well, listen,
you guys dominate boy bands.
We got New Edition. I mean, you
the
think
guy that organized
Bell Biv. No.
Yeah.
Bell
well,
Biv,
they're all
no,
they're all
Philly, right?
No.
That was Boys to Men.
Yeah.
We got
no. Belle Biv DeVoe was new edition.
Belle Biv DeVoe is new edition.
Yeah. All right. So what do we got?
I got Wade Boggs, Marvin Hagler, Stremski, Ortiz, Russell, Brady, Bird, or Williams. That's nine players right there.
Those are nine
athletes. The 10th spot is open. This is feel free to rearrange as much as you would like. But I put Boggs kind of lower down. I think he should be on the list.
I think so.
Hagler, you want? He's there. Stremski, you got Ortiz just outside of the top five. You got Bill Russell at five, Brady at four, Bird at three, Orr at two, and Williams at one.
But see, here's the thing with Ortiz. Oh, I guess it's just what people – I would have put Ortiz in the top five. Well, I would have put Orr at six.
The thing about Ortiz is he's a DH.
Yeah.
So, you know, all these other guys –
You got one job.
Full game. Yeah, that's it. Every nine
fucking,
times.
Nobody did their job better.
No, he's in the cage the whole time. He's like –
Just fucking swinging.
Yeah, he wasn't sitting on the bench.
Yeah.
These guys – and everybody – he's fat. He's not fat. That's all muscle. That guy was – you don't hit a ball 420 feet.
Did you see – I'm sorry. Did you see the Seattle – I think it was Ortiz. There was a Seattle Mariners home run derby. Was like – Ken Griffey was in it. It was a young guy.
A-Rod?
Yeah, A-Rod was a young A-Rod. And there was a farm team that they were competing against that they lost. And I think Ortiz was they didn't know that they were
the Minnesota Twins farm team, I think?
No, it was Seattle Mariners.
We got him from the Twins.
Anyways, I'm almost positive, but you can look it up. But then Ortiz stepped in and just was – he demolished them. And they didn't know they were watching, you know.
Greatness.
Yeah.
He was released by the – I think the Twins, and we picked them up. Or we traded for nothing for him.
What Twins? These nuts.
You got one more spot on this list. Who deserves a last
Andre
spot?
Andre Tippett. Tony Eason.
God.
I'm gonna leave it up to Matty Fontana.
What was the running back? He's an announcer now. White guy. He played with Eric Dickerson at SMU.
See, this is a little before me. So
motherfucker, you're throwing out Ted Williams.
Yeah.
Craig.
He won't shut up about Yawkey. Yeah.
He's my dad.
Before my time.
My gramps. Just all I can do is like.
I'm going to go get Yawkeys. Who was it?
Brett was right. David Ortiz drafted by the Mariners.
Yeah.
I was right about that, and I'm right about Lake Arrowhead. I don't give a fuck what anybody says.
I love that. There's a fact.
It's where the Kansas City Chiefs had a spring break party.
Yeah.
1998. Now check to see
Miracle
Craig
on Ice.
Craig Morton. No, what the Craig Morton was a quarterback for the Broncos. He was a running back at SMU, and I think he played at the Patriots in like the 80s. You'll know when I say he's an announcer. Anyways, whatever. All right, so
if you want to bring it down to one game,
Irving Fryer,
the goaltender for the 1980 U.S. hockey team that beat the Russians.
Let's put him on there. What was his name?
Craig. His last name was Craig. Jim Craig.
Jim Craig.
Jim Craig? And what did he do?
He was the goalie for the
But he's from Boston, but, you know, he was there for the Miracle on Ice.
For the Miracle on Ice, was the goalie.
And then you got Mike Ruzioni, who's another Boston guy. That team was built around Minnesota and Boston players that absolutely fucking hated each other.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Well, you know,
goes back to what we were talking about.
But, like, it's weird because there's the only rivalry between the Yankees and the Red Sox, but every other team, we're not even the same conference, really. I mean, is the Bruins and Rangers really that?
No. Bruins, Canadians.
That's what I mean.
That's one of the biggest.
Like, Bruins, Islanders, no. I mean, our whole rivalry is just simply based on the Red Sox and Yankees.
Red Sox, Yankees. But Bruins, Canadians is massive.
I know. That's what I'm saying. It's not a New York team. Because people think cities are at it. It's just because of baseball.
No, yeah. You go to New York. The thing, too, the Celtics and the Lakers. You go to a Celtics-Knicks game, and you got a Red Sox center. No one gives a shit.
Nobody gives a fuck.
You go to a Lakers. I mean, you go to a Dodgers game.
Yeah.
You go to a Celtics-Knicks game, everybody knows everybody on the 86 Celtics, 87 Lakers, whatever, Showtime Lakers, Celtics. You go to a Dodgers game, nobody knows anybody on the Lakers team from back then.
Yeah, that's weird, man.
They don't know who's on the field now. They're just repping colors, and all they do is talk shit about you because you're from Boston. You're like, why are you saying shit to me?
No, well, look, the people that are from L.A. are really good fans, man. They really are.
Yeah.
And you know, it's the people in Hollywood that give
There's also
the people that are born and raised here, that stigma, so to speak. But with that being said, there are people at courtside at a Lakers game that are on their phone.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you're like, come on, man. But you're up in the nosebleeds.
The guy that, if you got the guy that killed that Giants fan out in the ravine.
Yeah. Well, that was a gang thing.
That's what that's a big element over there at Dodger Stadium. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You asked that kid who was playing center field that night?
He had no idea.
He had no idea. But he just killed somebody.
Yeah.
Because of baseball.
Yeah. But it wasn't. It wasn't baseball.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I mean.
But no, you're right. You go to those Dodger games and there are people there that, you know. They don't know the history of it.
Show up in the third, leave in the sixth. They get a dog. They take a picture with their
Dodger
phone,
dog,
and then they throw it away.
Your bitch ass dad.
They don't eat it.
Dad takes selfies with Dodger dogs. Yeah.
Some girls taking pictures with.
Speaking
her,
of, let's
her
do
tiny little Dodger shirt.
Let's do Pete's tweets real fast. We got guys. Make sure you tweet us at YOTL Podcast. We haven't done it for a while. Pete's tweets brought to you by Jared's Bar and Grill in Seaside Park, Seaside Heights, New Jersey, and Revolution Graphics. Jeremy Foster, he tweets, working out in your club clothes right before you go to the club might be the most Guido thing I've ever heard. Had me dying laughing. Strong. Great episode as usual this week.
I wanted to add to, I like the many liquids guy.
Yeah.
But we forgot the one guy. He's in the liquids department.
Yeah.
But there's that fucking guy with that oversized bottle
of
water.
Oh, yeah.
Not even a gallon. It's like thing you see at the cooler.
Yeah,
he's walking around.
Yeah, he's walking around with a 5 gallon.
That fucking oversized water guy.
At the gym?
Yeah.
Yeah, we were talking about like top 10 guys that suck at the gym, but we had our favorite was the guy with like 20 liquids. Yeah.
What about the barefoot guy? Barefoot, the dude's walking around barefoot.
You ever see that in the fucking, in the shower?
Yeah.
What?
That's how you get
the fucking
naked fungus.
Foreign dude in the sauna. Like, wrap yourself in something.
JR's Bar and Grill, they tweeted, your bitch-ass dad drinks Diet Dr. Pepper. There we go. Oh, you got a Diet Coke this time, pal.
Diet Coke.
Jimmy, he says, is it weird that I just had to hold some dude's phone in the gym so he can watch himself work out, listen to the podcast about jerk-offs who do this? Positive Sarcasm says, Italian cookies. Dude, pistachio cookies, greatest Italian cookie ever. Save the pinoles for your bitch-ass dad.
We were saying how, like, you know, I mean, Italians, we got good desserts, but some of those cookies are a little suspect.
Yeah.
They're chalky.
Then Ronnie
really,
B.
Like fucking biscotti? Like, why do I have to go to the dentist?
I will take an Austrian, a German chocolate chip cookie. Yeah.
Over one of those cement high. They built the fucking Sistine Chapel with biscotti.
One of my favorite tweets came from Scott Jacobs. He says, your list of the top 10 guys you hate to see at the gym was so accurate that I was literally envisioning members of my gym as the people you were describing. 12 out of 10. Bravo. Guys, those are Pete's tweets. Make sure you tweet us at YOTL Podcast.
Also, again, we'll just do it now anyways. Get your tickets. It sounds corny, but we're selling fucking really well over in New Jersey. But I haven't even announced it yet because they hit me up. We might add a show.
Nice.
But listen, guys, it might be Sunday, but don't quote me on that. I'll be at Bananas Comedy Club in Hasbrook Heights the 18th and 19th of May. I'm also coming to Syracuse the end of May.
Ooh.
June 31st to May 31st to the beginning of June. Again, I keep saying this, regardless of any type of political beliefs, whatever it is, kids need your help. Please come down to the blood drive. It's today if you're watching live and tomorrow as well. I think we have like 25 slots left.
So this is Friday and Saturday.
It's today. It's actually right now, man.
Perfect.
And then tomorrow as well. So it's at the Children's Hospital LA. And if you can't, and if you don't live in LA, please go down to your local hospital and donate blood. They really need it more than anything. And Cobra Kai, May 2nd. I'm going to Mexico Sunday, and I'll be back when it things. But check out Cobra Kai.
Are you going on vacation?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
We got
where
a
are you
free
going? Cabo.
No,
you're taking a jaunt.
Punta Mita.
Oh, there you go.
Punta
it sounds
Mita?
Good. Speaking of Mexican sounding stuff,
Mangera gas.
I want to. I got to plug something.
Pica?
We're going to.
Pussy juice.
For all of any, if we have any listeners in
Punta
Canada,
de Maricon. Maricon. I didn't say Maricon.
If we have any listeners in Calgary, Canada, May 5th, Cinco de Mayo, we're doing a show at a place called Cowboys in Calgary called Pinco de Mayo. It's a charity for women's health. It's going to be me, Annie Letterman, Sarah Tiana and Deborah DiGiovanni. Come on out to Cowboys May 5th.
Dude, that's great, man.
Yeah, so that's it, man. That's all I have. And then congratulations to my little brother having a baby.
Yeah, congrats, buddy. And I'll hopefully, Petey, you know,
I'll be there either way. You know, even if I can get a guest spot or one of those nights, that'll be fun.
No, you're coming up. Yeah. Because I got to hit the city Saturday night, so you might have to roll with me.
Hey, man, let's do it.
We'll fucking go strong.
Let's do it. And now, guys, we have the top 10 Boston athletes of all time. All right, at number 10.
Here's your top 10 Boston athletes given to us by Matty Fontana. This is his list, so don't fucking shoot us. Okay. Go ahead, Petey. Go.
Top 10 Boston athletes at number 10. The goaltender for the Miracle on Ice. It's Jim Craig. At number 9, Wade Boggs.
That guy's
mustache.
Good.
Amazing.
Strong.
Number 8, Marvin Hagler. Loved him. Number 7, you got Stremski. At number 6, you got David Ortiz. At number 5, you got Bill Russell. Number 4 is Tom Brady. Number 3, Larry Bird with the mustache. Number 2, Bobby Orr. And number 1 of all time, head frozen in Lake Arrowhead,
Ted Williams. That's the top 10 Boston athletes brought to you by Matty Fontana. Matty, how can people reach you so they can give you shit about this?
I am on Twitter at Matty Fontana 13.
Okay, it's easy to remember.
MattyFontana, the number 13. I'm on Instagram with the same Matty Fontana 13. And Facebook, I don't know. Don't bother.
Yeah.
You not on Facebook?
I do, but I'm not going to accept your friend request if I don't know who you are. Yeah. So.
You don't have a fan page yet? You should start one, man, because, you know, when it's the worst, dude. Did you have one?
I started one, yeah. Yeah.
I maxed out at 5,000. I had 8,000 ads that you couldn't add, but once you start a fan page, you can
unlimited, just leave it. All
right. I'm not that famous yet.
Well, you'll get there, buddy.
You'll get there.
Guys, thanks.
You're gonna be great in Boston after you made fun of their women.
Yeah,
they all know it.
Ted Williams over.
Well, I didn't put Wade Boggs was not mine. Just so I'm just letting that out there.
Maddie
and Kim. I put Jim Craig on the list because just to have a little, you know, diversity.
I love that Fontana's not going to be able to walk down the street in Boston after this episode. But
I did nothing wrong.
Yeah, shout out to Yawkey.
All right, guys.
Walt Disney, Yawkey, Cosby.
Hey, make sure you call your moms. We love you. God bless.
Yeah, call your mom.